Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the City of Angels, City of Stars, City of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You like apples? We got Anthony Davis. How you like them apples? The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers at Farmers. We've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay in the game. Put their experience into play at farmers.com.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
All right, let's get after it. The Lakers did it. And though it did not include the kitchen sink, it feels like everything except the kitchen sink went to New Orleans. Lonzo, gone. Brandon Ingram, gone. Josh Hart, gone. Number four pick in the draft, gone. Seemingly every future first round pick from here until eternity, gone. But let me ask you something. When somebody says something is priceless, how much is it actually worth? Right? There is only one LeBron James. I don't know if LeBron James is the greatest player in the history of the game. I don't know how much LeBron James has left. But he's in the conversation of the greatest players to ever play the game. And he clearly still has something left, since even in a season in which he wasn't all that motivated, he wasn't all that healthy, and it was a new team, he still averaged, what, like 28, 8, and 8? Like, in a bad year, he put up crazy, crazy numbers. So for the next 3 years, you have LeBron James. And what did you need in order to get the most out of LeBron James? You need another star. You need a guy that can defend the rim. And you needed it now. And Anthony Davis is repped by LeBron James's agent. He can defend all five positions, including defending the rim. He wants to play alongside LeBron James. And he's done where he was. He's done where he's at. Done. He checks all these boxes. And oh yeah, by the way, there's really only one Anthony Davis in the NBA. What's the price of something that's priceless? Apparently, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, number four pick, bunch of first round picks. I could easily say that they overpaid. Sure, okay. But what is the cost of not getting Anthony Davis? Because if you don't get Anthony Davis, you probably don't get any free agents. And if you don't get any free agents, now you're left with an abject disaster. So the NBA in the last week has been turned on its head. From Kevin Durant tearing his Achilles tendon, which changed the free agency pool, to Klay Thompson tearing his ACL, again, changing the free agency pool, to Anthony Davis ending up in LA, changing the free agency pool and changing the Lakers' outlooks. Like, completely different league in 1 week. Don't even get me started on what Kawhi Leonard does. We don't know if he's going to be a Clipper. Somebody say he might be a Laker. And common sense would tell you that the Raptors have a fighter's chance since they just won a championship, and there's the biggest victory parade I've ever seen in my life taking place in Toronto. Not that that matters. But still kind of cool. Right? Still kind of cool. But let's get back to the Anthony Davis thing. This reminds me of a couple of different things. I'll never forget I owned a house in Burlington, Connecticut. When I first got to ESPN, everybody said, move to West Hartford. That's where young families live. We didn't have family, but I had a realtor, and the realtor was kind of out in the sticks a little bit. And I always thought I wanted land and something beautiful. And I did. It was like on 3 acres, wooded. Really cool house, custom house. So we bought it. It was on a cul-de-sac. There were families, but I don't know. It was okay. We liked it a great deal. A couple years later, we had kids and we decided we want to move to a more of a neighborhood where the trees were chopped down in between houses so you could walk outside and all the kids, you just throw them in the yard and they just play together, right? Everybody, you know the drill if you've lived in the suburbs before. So we were getting ready to sell our house and we had put a little bit of money into it and we thought it was worth a little bit more and we got an offer that was a little bit less than it should have been. And the guy was like, hey, got till end of business today. And I could have gone back and forth. But a good friend of mine told me, like, are you really going to decide your fate over $20,000, $30,000? You can make money on your house. You can get out of it, have the cash in hand, then go buy the house that you do want and the neighborhood that you do want. And the same thing happened when you're buying the new house. You really going to decide where you're going to live based on $20,000 or $30,000? And my answer is no. And so while I would sit there and tell you that Rob Pelinka didn't have to give up all those picks and this year's fourth round, number four overall pick, because it is, in fact, the top five pick, and they do like Darius Garland. Everybody likes Coby White. These are two guys that could go easily top five. At the end of the day, the Lakers sat there and go, what's the price of something that's priceless? And then the other part reminded me of, I love the show Billions. Have you guys ever seen the show Billions? Among the writers for Billions, Aaron Sorkin's also a writer. Who doesn't like Aaron Sorkin stuff? So Sorkin, West Wing guy. This is my favorite. First season of Billions. First episode of first season of Billions. I hope this is bleeped out. Is it bleeped out? Good. The main character runs Axe Capital. His last name is Axe, right? And he's about to close on a house in, I believe, supposedly my old hometown of Westport, Connecticut, for like $41 million on the water, something crazy. And he's being investigated by the SEC. And his lawyer and advisor's like, do you really think this is a good idea to spend all this money when you're being investigated by the SEC? And he uttered this phrase.
But then again, what's the point of having you money if you never say you?
Right? What is the point to being in LA and having LeBron James and saying we're the Lakers and looking up and seeing all those banners? What's the point of having FU money if you don't every once in a while say FU? We'll figure out the rest. We got two of the five best players in the league, which, by the way, has kind of been how the Lakers have rolled for the last 30 years. And I don't blame New Orleans. Like, David Griffin did a really good job. He knows no one wants to re-sign there. He knows what he's up against. Smallest market in the NBA. One that has ownership that owns football and basketball and a football town that's going to fall in love with Zion Williamson. He understands all of these things. So he did an incredible job with an asset that was depreciating. And whether or not they could have gotten Kuzma earlier in the year or not, I don't know. No one knows the reality to that. The fact is the Lakers did overspend, did overextend themselves. Because there is no price on something that's priceless. And what is the point of having FU money if every once in a while you're not going to say FU?
But then again, what's the point of having FU money if you never say FU?
Right?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are reacting to the massive change within the NBA in just, really, in just one short week, right? That's what happened. Just one short week. Stick with me. In chronological order, KD tears his Achilles tendon, which means regardless of stay or go, he doesn't play much, if at all, next year. Klay Thompson tears his ACL, likely to stay, but that means the Golden State Warriors aren't likely to be competitive for a championship next year. Kawhi Leonard wins a finals MVP, wins a championship, which, regardless of whether or not he stays or goes, it does make it more likely that he stays, right? more likely that it stays. So the NBA has undergone a massive change. And then at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon in the West Coast, Anthony Davis was traded for everything except for Kyle Kuzma and LeBron James the Lakers had to offer. And as we told you previously, like, look, did they pay too much? Probably, but you can't pay too much for something that is invaluable. Invaluable. There was an expression started by Andy Warhol. You guys know Andy Warhol, famous artist? And it was an expression from a 1968 exhibition, which was really profound, really profound. He said, and this is 1968, in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes. I was like, wow. And it's interesting because obviously O.J. Simpson's 15 minutes have lasted longer. Today is the 25th anniversary of the car chase, which was drawn during the NBA Finals. And it took place really on a freeway, which is, I could hit a 7-iron, hit the freeway from here. It's not that section of the freeway. This is north of Brentwood, but Brentwood is 10 minutes down the freeway where he exited and then went to his house and then eventually was taken into custody. It started all the way down in Laguna Hills at the cemetery where his ex-wife was buried. AC Callens driving the car. We've now heard audio of the car, all that stuff. That was 25 years ago. And then this weekend, O.J. Simpson's on Twitter, and then people are following him. And now he's talking about, you know, telling what he views as truths. I'll only say this. Yes, you are a bad person for following O.J. Simpson on Twitter. Yes, you are. Yeah, he's somebody who has murdered two people. There is the irony that he went to jail for stealing his own stuff. I get it, right? But he murdered two people in cold blood and has never been honest about it. So if you can lie about that, you can lie about if you're the father of a Kardashian or not, right? Like, there's no lie detector on, he looks totally honest. Like, well, he's a pathological and chronological liar. Of course he looks honest. That's what liars do. So yes, you are a bad person for following him on Twitter. Like, oh, I want to see a train wreck. Like, no, that's watching a murderer just lie to you on social media. But AC Callens, 15 minutes of fame. Judge Ito, 15 minutes of fame. The 15 minutes are up for LeVar Ball. And look, it's a cool story, especially coming off of Father's Day. A dad who flamed out as a basketball player, played a little NFL football, raises three sons, one of whom, LaMelo, has just announced he's going to go play professionally in Australia for a year, which I do think is a good plan. He needs to get away from his father's coaching, and she did last year, and continue to learn, develop, play defense, become tougher, because he does have a ton of skill, and he's 6'6", and he got a chance to be a special player. So I'm not killing the idea that he's raising three boys, two of whom are going to be NBA players. One of them was the second pick of the NBA draft. The idea of starting your own brand, bold, turned down a ton of money in order to do his own thing. Now, he mistakenly tied that brand to a guy who was managing the money who ran off with a couple $1 million. But in theory, it's a great and bold idea. Big baller brand. But when Lonzo Ball doesn't wear Big Baller brand and has a deal with Nike, you kind of have no brand, right? And then he had the JBL, the basketball league, which lasted for one season. I know. You didn't get the stat updates on exactly what happened there, but that is now defunct and kids went unpaid. The point is a guy who likened himself to being Midas and having this golden touch of taking care of everyone around him, he was likely taking care of everyone around him with his son's money. And so his son has been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. Here's LeVar Ball, who found out about it while at the Drew League. That's a L.A. summer league where two of his sons were watching some guys play, and he was standing there. He was visibly upset. TMZ caught up with him. Here's the VAR.
I guarantee, like I say again, it'll be the worst move the Lakers ever did in their life, and they'll never win another championship. Guaranteed.
I agree. Are they going to regret this trade?
They're going to regret it. I'm going to have fun with it. Because I told y'all it was crashing down. Now it completely crashed, but at least my son got off the boat before the thing exploded. I gave him a chance. You can rewind it and go back. And I said, if you get the three ball brothers, you're going to survive this. You let them go, oh, it's going to be a cold day in hell.
And then he said that everybody who leaves the Lakers gets better.
The Lakers are going to be known for always getting rid of great players. It's been a process. Everybody who get away from the Lakers, boy, they do so much better after they get away. The proof is in the pudding. I'm not just saying this.
How about LeBron and AD? Do you think they can win the championship?
LeBron and AD win a championship together? No. They won't win. Guaranteed.
Guarantees against LeBron James winning a championship have not exactly worked out all that well for Dan Gilbert. I don't know why LeVar Ball. And look, we're biting the apple. We're broadcasting him. Julius Randle did score a bunch of points. New Orleans didn't get any better because of it, but he did have statistically a good year. He opted out of his deal with the Pelicans. D'Angelo Russell did become an all-star. He's an all-late edition all-star, but did have a good year, is going to sign a big contract. And hell, Brooke Lopez had a really good year this year. He might be back in L.A. But isn't it interesting that the adult in the room acts like the child in the room? Matter of fact, here's LeVar Ball saying, oh yeah, that commentary, that was all reverse psychology. This is earlier today on First Take.
These suckers, I'm playing chess. Y'all playing checkers. The best way to get Lonzo out of L.A. is I said, you know what? I don't like New Orleans. Lonzo ain't going nowhere. He the best in the world. L.A. Lakers ain't gonna never let him go. First thing they do, exactly what I want to do, let him go. Because it's raggedy over there. Even the writing is on the new shirt that he going to wear. It said no L.A. on it.
He was working on that one all day. No L.A. Yeah, no L.A. Why can't you just say, hey, D'Angelo, listen, the smart way to do this is just to say, look, D'Angelo Russell, he got run out of town. He was the number two pick. He was a point guard. He became an all-star. That's our goal. Now we got to go to New Orleans and get to work. You know? And the truth is that the Lakers did value Lonzo Ball. But you have to give up to get. All of those other pieces aside, this deal would not have been consummated if not for either Kyle Kuzma or Lonzo Ball being included. And I don't know why LeVar can't look at it and say, hey, my son still has value. Maybe not as much value as you'd hope. Why you can't simply wish people the best and take the high road. But in the guarantees, he has guaranteed an NCAA championship at UCLA. That didn't work out. Matter of fact, he got his son got his ass kicked by De'Aaron Fox in his last game as UCLA Bruin. And I still like Lonzo. You're not going to be the better player every game you play. But you guaranteed that your son's team would win a championship. And by the way, since they left Chino Hills, they've won championships without any balls around. But you guaranteed that. Then you get to the Lakers and you guaranteed greatness. And you guaranteed your brand. Neither have come through. Now you're guaranteeing LeBron won't win a championship because they traded your son. I can't mark the 15 minutes when it started, but I can mark when it was up. Today. 14:59, 15. To quote the great Andy Warhol, in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes. LeVar, your time, sir, is up. Get back to being a dad and a good one and helping your kids succeed, which one already has. Like, I am very much it. I will defend this for a second. I have a son who plays basketball, and one day at our practice, he was making fun of Lonzo Ball shooting like this. And I stopped everything. I blew the whistle and I called everybody in. I said, guys, Hayes is making fun of how Lonzo shoots. I said, Hayes, have you been an All-American in high school? He said, no. I said, have you been an All-American in college? He said, no. Are you the number two pick of the NBA draft? He said, no. Do you start for an NBA team? He said, no. I said, well, Lonzo Ball has done all of those things. Does he shoot it as well as he should? No. And in spite of that, he's a starting point guard in the NBA. So whatever the over-under is on what Lonzo Ball could have been from birth and growing up, he's hit the over. He is, in fact, making millions of dollars. He is a starting point guard in the NBA. But for LaVar Ball, who did a good job to a point, right, but now has to hand it off to professionals and allow all of his sons to flourish as adults. The 15 minutes are, in fact, up.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So we were at the U.S. Open on Thursday and Friday, and it's pretty interesting, right, that Gary Woodland won, Brooks Koepka didn't win. I kind of feel like Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods not winning is bigger than Gary Woodland winning. Who won the U.S. Open? Well, Brooks Koepka didn't win. And how about Tiger? He didn't win. The Woodland story is pretty amazing. How about he makes that last putt? I actually enjoy this kind of place that I'm in with my children now. We lost early. We lost in the semifinals in a baseball tournament, so we thought we were going to have a game later. So we kind of cleared out the schedule, and then we had nothing to do. We just kind of hung out around the house, and I napped on the couch, which is amazing. It's kind of fascinating that I'm sitting there kind of discussing with one of my 13-year-old daughters what below the hole is, you know, what, you know, why the course is how it is, what makes it special. Obviously, some just beautiful stuff. I personally, and this may sound, wow, you're a guy who works for Fox. I actually really enjoy what Fox is doing with golf. If you've noticed the difference in the coverage. So there's a lot less commentary. They still do he's got about a 5-iron from here. Right? They still have the shot tracker. Like, it's still golf, and it's about a 6-foot uphill putt that's going to move slightly to his right. And it's right. It's still, but there's a lot less commentary, a lot more natural sound. And they have those boom mics to where they get even Jordan Spieth eviscerating his caddy. Right? Did you guys hear that one on, was that on Friday? Was that Saturday? So Spieth, he hit one in the water, and then he hits at what looked like a perfect shot just long. He was obviously had one club too many. And his caddy's name is Mike. He's like, Mike, two perfect shots. I end up in the water back there, and now I'm in the rough here. I'll point this out. There's a couple things here. Like, caddies make a good amount of money, and they don't hit a shot. You got one job. Club me. Right? Like, that's their job. And you don't have to like it, but if you've ever heard Jordan Spieth win a major, and he won two in 1 year and nearly won two more, this is going back a couple years ago, he doesn't say I, he says we. He talks about his caddy. They are, in fact, a team. And part of the team is, and sometimes you screw it up. But I love the way that Fox shoots golf. Like, I thought it was really cool. I thought Klatt did a great job. Shane Bacon. Bacon. Joe Buck. But the idea that you can kind of listen in on these conversations, like, that is awesome. So good. Yes, Ramos.
I thought it was interesting they brought Jim Nance on. I thought that was very interesting.
Hello, friend.
I guess he lives,
he
right?
Lives. He literally lives there.
But the fact that they brought him on and he actually...
He had a credential. That was funny. He had a credential.
He had a nice sweatshirt. That was interesting.
I'm Jim Nance. Nance is a really amazing guy. Nance is one of these guys, and I try to do it. Like, I have a really, really, really good memory. But Tirico, Nance, Buck, these guys are like savants in their ability to go from one sport to the next and know everything. Like, what we do here what Colin does. Like, Colin's incredible about his depth of football. Like, if you ever talk NFL draft, I know a couple of GMs in the NFL that are like, your boy Cowherd, he's insane. Like, what does he do? He just sits around and watches tape. I was like, yeah, kind of. That's what he does. So guys like that, they have this remarkable memory. And Nance is this guy who he'll go to a banquet, dinner that he's speaking at, work the room, and know everybody's name and remember their wife's name. I know, Senator, how are you? This is Doug and Angie Gottlieb. They live in Newport. You know, like, wait, did we just met? Like, what are you, you know? But that was really cool. It's really cool. We've reached a weird place in broadcasting where it used to be like Hatfields, McCoys. And honestly, Alex Rodriguez has kind of changed that because he works for ESPN and for Fox, which is a weird deal. And there are some others that work for multiple places, which is great. Except to those of us who sign exclusive deals, not as great. But you can ask and they let you do other stuff. But I don't know. I think the whole thing was really cool. So, look, Woodland, he got legit challenged and didn't have to go for it on 18. And he ends up making a birdie putt from Dan Beyer range. But it is weird how we did get let down by Tiger not being in it. The fact that because it's on the West Coast, it was prime time on the East Coast, there's nothing else on, it rated very well. And the Gary Woodland story, of course, the guy who played college hoops at Washburn, he's got a nice-looking jump shot. His jump shot looks better than mine. That's not saying much, but it does look better than mine. Winning the U.S. Open and playing well in order to do so. Like, he had to beat a guy who shot under 70 in all four rounds. It shows how well he had to play. And he played exceptional, exceptional golf. But because it was overcast there, it was a little bit overcast in Southern California because it's golf. And because Tiger wasn't involved, it was a throw it on and maybe take a nap sort of show instead of having to watch every shot the way you do when Tiger watches. So when Tiger plays. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Our thanks to USGA for having us up there. And we had a good time. Is Dan Beyer? Dan, you
yeah. Got... Well, you just talked about Tiger, and this was a conversation that Nick Baugh and I had yesterday on my show, where I told him about the, would you go back 5 years, if you will, 3 years, when you think about Tiger winning another major? Doug, I always thought that what was going to happen was Tiger was going to come back and Tiger was going to be able to play the Masters because he won the Masters. He was going to play the Open Championship because he was a champion there. But it was going to be a crazy 4 days where Tiger caught lightning in a bottle and then ended up winning a major. And that would have been just a spectacular time. But he's exceeded my expectations so much,
yeah,
where he's top five in the world again.
Yes.
So not only that, we're now...
We lost total perspective.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
We didn't think he would play golf again. Some people didn't think he'd play golf again. He won the Masters. He was disappointing at the PGA. He finishes... What did he finish? 20-something?
Yeah, it was tied for 19th, something right around there.
So
yeah.
He finished top 20, yeah, and we're something. Like, Tiger, you sucked, buddy. Like, dude, he's got a surgically repaired back, Achilles tendon, knee... Oh, yeah, by the way, he's not a spring chicken. And somehow it's a bummer that he doesn't, yeah, he's not in the top five. You mentioned on Friday that was probably the last chance that Phil had to win the U.S. Open. You going to stand by that one?
Yes, 1,000,000%.
1,000,000%.
Yes, even though that he...
Are you doing the never ever period? Are you doing the LeVar Ball? Are you doing LeVar Ball?
Yeah, I am.
Phil Mickelson will never, ever. Are you going to write it in Comic Sans?
I will 72 bold that, because I just don't see a 50-year-old player winning the U.S. Open. And that is what Phil Mickelson would do or would need to do next year at Wingfoot. He just turned 49 yesterday. So next year's U.S. Open ends a few days after his birthday. Is he really going to win the U.S. Open at 50 years old?
Why not?
Well, the oldest player to ever win a major was 48 years old.
I understand. You know? I mean, like, and now he has He has some health problems, right? But when he's right physically.
He won at Pebble Beach earlier this year at the Pro-Am, right. And this was the course, plus the next two championships.
My big hitter courses.
Yeah. Wingfoot's going to take it's going to be long. Torrey Pines, we know, is going to be long. So despite his successes at these tracks, it was Pebble Beach's shorter track that was, I thought, really going to be able to benefit him.
Now, but he should have won at Wingfoot last time around. Granted, correct. That was a long time ago, and he was a different golfer, and there's more power in the game now than there was then. That's what you're saying, right? And he's clearly won at Torrey before. I mean, it's not a course that he doesn't know.
Yeah, he could still put it out there, but how far is he going to be able to do it at 50 and 51? And that's going to be the question.
Yeah. No, it's a great – I thought it was a good weekend for golf. I don't know if it was the best weekend that golf could have had, right? There's – Rory wasn't in it late. Ricky wasn't in it late. So the new young guns kind of disappeared, right?
Yeah, Rory, I hate to say, continues to disappoint, but you're waiting for a 67 or a 66 on a weekend, and it just doesn't happen. He shot one over yesterday, and he started, what, five back of the lead entering the day? And so you thought, okay, maybe if something wouldn't end up winning it anyway, but... Yeah, that's a disappointment.
Can I tell you the best part about it?
What's that?
I thought it was a fair course. The USGA has received some, and some of it was like Chambers Bay, and I know the weather, remember, got dried out or whatever. And some of these other places didn't have all the rain that Pebble had this offseason, even this year. So, like, look, weather was perfect, and it wasn't windy, so it wasn't crazy hard. It didn't get crazy dry and crazy fast. But I thought it was a fair track, whereas the U.S. Open at times has been so tricked up that guys are like, are you kidding me, right? Like, the pin placements were hard but not impossible. I just thought it was a great, fair golf course, great, fair golf tournament. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Allowing the players to exhibit their skill.
Yes, which is kind of what they're looking for. And I think Wingfoot should be the same because it's an area of the country that generally gets enough rain and it's not Shinnecock, which can dry out at times. Like, not last year at Shinnecock, but the previous time, right? Remember, they're watering the greens and bad deal.
Dried out last year as well.
It did. You know? And it gets to the point where you're like, dude, you got a pin placement that's on a hill. Nobody can make that. What are we doing here? So I thought the USGA did. Part of it is helped by the fact that Pebble has done this before and got perfect weather for perfect conditions for Pebble Beach specifically. A part of it is I thought they just did a really good job.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.